So, welcome to the Toncast. Our guest today is Todd Anderson. I'd like to welcome you back to your show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
Do you prefer to go by your full name, your full three-named name?
I do when I'm in professional arenas.
Are you in a professional? Is this professional to you right
this
now?
This is a professional arena.
So you're like one of those child actors of the 90s with three names?
Yes. Okay. Well, it's a union thing. It's not a choice. It's a union thing.
Is that true?
That is true.
They force three names upon you.
Yes, because nobody in the Screen Actors Guild can have the same professional name as another person in the Screen Actors Guild. So by the time I got to the Screen Actors Guild, there were already several Todd Andersons. In fact, I tried to even get Todd R. Anderson. That was taken.
Interesting. How many Todd Andersons are there?
I can't remember, but there are like seven or eight.
Seven or eight Todd Andersons.
Yeah.
Which one is the best? Outside of you, what are the other Todd Andersons like? Have you met them? Do you hang out? Do you go to a support group?
I don't know any of the other Todd Andersons.
Aren't you curious about them?
No.
They could be, what if they all look just slightly different than you?
What if you mean like they're like essentially doppelgangers?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
That's
with
what I'm
slight
saying.
Differences?
Yeah.
That'd be fucking weird.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
This podcast could take on an entire new look and feel because you could just alternate interviewing each other.
Oh my gosh.
And there would be just slight differences.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Well, now maybe I should call SAG and get all their personal information.
This is all the other Todd Blank Andersons in SAG.
Give them all to me. I got to meet all these guys. That would make a good like quirky indie documentary.
It would
for Netflix streaming.
Netflix, Netflix only does 100 million an episode now. I think you gotta lower your expectations.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
Really? You don't think I could get on the Netflix?
No, I bet you could. I mean, I'd be fascinated by this. I'd stream this all day long.
Yeah, I would too.
It could be a series.
It could be
a nine-parter.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Todd Andersons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Todd Anderson show about all the Todd Andersons.
But you couldn't get Todd R. Anderson because there was already another Todd R.
That's
Anderson.
What I'm saying.
Wow.
You. By the way, your name is what? I didn't catch your name.
Oh, I'm Eric Spiegelman. I'm the host of the Toncast.
I gathered you were the host.
Yeah,
but you didn't say your name.
This is a new show for me.
Mm-hmm.
My previous shows, I went by various other doppelganger-like names, like Eric Spiderman.
Spiderman.
Eric Spiderman.
Okay.
The only Jewish superhero. That's not my joke. That's just an old joke.
Yeah, that's a good co-opted. Yeah. Why not? I co-opt jokes all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my favorite one now is because Doug Benson tweeted about that movie Divergent that's coming out. But, you know, on the billboards, like, Diver is higher than the gent part, so it looks like Divergent. So he's like, it's about a gentleman diver.
It's like, yeah.
And I say that at parties all the time, and people go, ha, ha, ha. And I don't say that was Doug Benson's tweet. I was just stealing it. I don't tell it because it's not a public record. Here I have to say it's Doug Benson's joke.
Right, right.
But at a cocktail party, I do not.
Like a footnote, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny, similar thing. I stole my friend's Constant Gardner joke. Like, Constant Gardner, I thought was going to be a movie about a guy who just gardens all day long. He's just constantly gardening, like a gardener with OCD.
Sure.
And, but I wasn't the first person I knew to say that. It was Clay Stewart. Clay Stewart was the Constant Gardner guy.
He said that, but you took it.
I took it. It's mine now.
Yeah.
It's mine now. I didn't pay him a lick of compensation.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Because you know what they say, minor poets borrow, great poets steal.
Good.
And I'm a great poet.
You're a great poet. I thought that same thing about the Constant Gardener, actually, without anybody else mentioning that to me. And then I saw the Constant Gardener, and I wished it had been a movie about a guy gardening constantly.
I actually just realized I don't know why that movie is called The Constant Gardener.
I think he gardens a lot in it, doesn't he?
But not really, like, constantly. And it's a movie. It's a movie
no,
about
like. No, it's
like
a double
Africa,
meaning.
Right?
Yeah, it's a double meaning, and he's. I don't know.
But I don't remember what the double meaning was.
I don't remember much about the Constant Gardener. I got to be honest, but I think it was not maybe not a double meaning, but like a metaphor. You know, the gardening is a metaphor of the relationships he was cultivating and the situations he was trying to.
I totally
grow.
Missed all the metaphoric. Value.
I could be wrong. That's just my. It's just I really don't remember much about that movie except being bored out of my skull.
Well, when you do your first episode where you're interviewing all the other Todd Andersons, let's ask them, because we could look it up on the internet and probably find out. I bet you there's a Wikipedia page
about the Constant Gardener.
Yeah,
but it's more fun to do it old school and have a conversation where you don't really know what you're talking about.
By the end of this show, we're going to narrow down. The other Todd Anderson's podcast so specific that it's gonna be primed for your indie documentary. It's not only finding out who the other Todd Andersons are, but it's asking them what they think the Constant Gardener means and what it was about.
That's great. That's great. It gives it direction.
Yeah, specificity.
Focus. Yeah.
Specificity.
You can't just go talk to a bunch of Todd Andersons.
No, you can't.
That won't be interesting. But if you go talk to a bunch of Todd Andersons about their recollections of the movie The Constant Gardener.
Yeah.
Then what? That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could add further layers. I mean, I don't want to get crazy, but maybe you're doing it poolside.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I mean, depending on.
Or it's Soho House. You pick a location.
Yeah, so you want the Todd Andersons to come to the location, as opposed to me going to the Todd Andersons.
Yeah, you know, it gives it a further layer. It gives it more, like, a uniform context. It
gives me more power, too.
Yeah, and then, like, you get a very specific title. It'll be very Googleable. It's like, Todd Anderson interviewing the other Todd Andersons about the Constant Gardener at the Soho House.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful, but, like, you'll stand out. You've got to be hyper-specific this day and age.
Yeah,
as you know, there are a lot of Todd Andersons.
Yes, that's true. And so you have to stand out. You're right. And your name has to get longer if you want people to know who you are.
It's a show about specificity.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's good.
All right.
I'm into it.
That's great. All right.
So are you going to film it?
No, but I will expect royalties.
Okay. Who's going to film it?
You can do it audio, I guess. You just have to describe what the other Todd Andersons look like. I guess, you know, it does have to be filmed, doesn't it? Yeah, we'll need...
Well, if we're doing it, you know, at a special house next to a pool and whatnot, it should be filmed.
I'll bet you there's a Todd Anderson in the Producers Guild you could find.
Maybe. But I feel like that's crossing lines. I gotta keep it SAG.
Right.
SAG-AFTRA, excuse me. Oh, Jesus, I didn't even think about that.
How many Todd Andersons were important
in the
merger? There
have been other Todd Andersons folded into the fucking union now.
So what do they do if there are two Todd Robert Andersons? One was AFTRA, one was SAG.
I don't know.
Do you have to fight?
I don't know.
It's probably a fight to the death, because there can be only one, according to SAG
rules.
This
is some Highlander shit.
Yeah,
oh my God. Oh my God, I need to find a Spanish guy who talks like a Scotsman to train me in... swordplay as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That my mind is blown. But you know, they're keeping the union somewhat separate.
Are they?
Well, there are still SAG jobs and AFTRA jobs.
Okay.
And even though they put both, and I was in both unions before anyway, but even though they put them together, so you have to pay. You pay all your dues to the one union, but then they kept their health plan separate.
Do you know why?
I don't understand it. And the only thing I can... I really don't understand it. I was like, well, maybe the whole point... Like, one of the good things about being in SAG is the health plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you were working an after job before, you know, none of that money went into your health plan.
Okay.
And you have to make a certain amount of money to qualify for the health plan.
Right.
So when I heard they were merging the unions, I was like, oh, good. Now all the after jobs are going to contribute to my getting my insurance.
And it didn't
but
work
that's
out like
not
that.
The case. Oh. The case is there's still after jobs and there's still SAG jobs. and they don't pay. They are separate, and they pay into separate.
So what's the rationale of the whole merger then?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know what the point is.
Do you think any other Todd Andersons have an understanding of it?
Maybe.
They might.
I mean, my best theory is SAG was willing to do it because AFTRA had become so undercutting with what they charged people. But as far as I can tell, by merging them, it's just muddied the waters and nobody's making any more money. They're still making less money.
The show has gotten very business serious. Very quickly.
I just wanted you to know the truth about SAG and AFTRA. A lot of people probably don't know that.
Are you a SAG AFTRA truther?
I am a truther in the SAG AFTRA realm. My problem is I don't understand it, so I can't tell much truth.
I don't think the truthers in any other conspiracy situation have any understanding of what they're talking about either, so you're probably very qualified.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I'm a conspiracy theorist on this, because the idea that a group of actors who run unions could get together and figure out something conspiratorially is ludicrous. but
I think by definition,
I think mistakes have been made. Mistakes have been made. That's what I'm saying. You think unions are conspiratorial by definition?
By definition, because there's a lot of people working together to achieve a goal.
And
that's actually the, I think that's the textbook definition of a conspiracy. The only difference is that for it to be a crime, that goal has to be illegal.
I see.
Yeah.
So you can have a conspiracy.
Yeah.
To get everyone on the planet a loaf of bread.
You could. That would be a really innocuous conspiracy. If you and I were like, let's order a pizza, that's a conspiracy.
We're conspiring to order pizza.
Exactly.
So then conspiracy theorists aren't that crazy because everything's a conspiracy unless you stay alone all the time.
Right. They just look for the most unlikely of nefarious goals. They assume conspiracies exist or they look that conspiracies exist. So wherever there's like a darkness of information, they're like, there must be a conspiracy.
There's a conspiracy there as opposed to just missing information.
Exactly.
Which I think is generally the case.
I agree.
Or ignored information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Like chemtrails. People have conspiracies about those.
They do.
It's a very popular conspiracy.
They do.
I don't understand any of the conspiracy theories, but it's very popular to have a conspiracy theory.
Do you know what's in the chemtrails?
No.
Chemicals of some sort? Mind control chemicals?
Yeah, I don't know, but well, when they skywrite, what's in that?
That's it, nothing. That's just vapor.
So why?
There's a thing that happens. I remember reading about it once.
Are these chemtrails? I don't know.
They're
not just
chemicals. It's just that, like, my understanding of the science, which is going to be, I'm sure, perfect when I set this out, is that the combination of temperature and air pressure at that altitude, when you introduce something that disrupts it, it creates condensation.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically making a cloud by moving really fast.
And that's all the chemtrail is.
That's all that mind.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
As opposed to the government is dropping experimental poison on us to see what we do.
I mean, let's assume that all these conspiracy theories involving the government are true, just for one second.
Okay.
Now, let's say Barack Obama becomes president. And before, he was not part of this massive machine, presumably, because he was only in the Senate for a couple of years. Before that, he was, you know, a community organizer. He hasn't been really indoctrinated into any part of the conspiracy.
I think it's clear that Obama had no idea what he was getting into.
I think it's clear, too. But, like, let's imagine how little he knew. So he gets to conspiracy federal government. Someone's got to take him aside and be like, listen, here's the laundry list of shit that we're doing. And, by the way, you can't tell anybody. And then he goes, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's fine. I'm on board. No need to convince me. I'm going to buy into conspiracy because that's what a good president will do.
Right, right. Sure.
Area 51, I'd like to go maybe on a tour. I'd like to talk to the aliens.
Sure.
Ask them what they think about True Detective.
Well, you think the aliens are alive in Area 51?
Oh, clearly.
I thought it was just they were covering up a space crash, and there was, like, a dead alien body on the...
I mean, if we're going full conspiracy theories, we can just make up for the lack of information.
So aliens are running the country.
Yeah, lizard people.
Lizard people.
Yeah.
It's like V.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
By the way, speaking of lizard people.
Yeah?
Do you know about this guy who lived in Los Angeles in, like, 1920s,
mm.
who was convinced that Los Angeles was founded upon a series of secret tunnels that had been dug by lizard people? This is a true story. It's in the Los Angeles Times in the 20s. This guy convinced of it. So he orchestrated this... excavation of a part of downtown Los Angeles to prove that there was a series of tunnels under that stretched from downtown to the ocean to the northern reaches of the valley, all over the place.
Mm.
And he disappeared.
Never to be heard from
straight
again?
Straight vanished. Never to be heard from
again. So he went into the tunnels.
I don't know if he actually disappeared into the tunnels. He went into the... he started excavating and then it somehow just vanished. Somehow just disappeared.
What about the excavation?
It just stopped because everyone thought he was crazy. Seriously, they thought he was crazy.
How did he get the permits for this?
Oh, this is like the 20s. I imagine like there wasn't a robust permitting process. It was also Los Angeles. Everything was kind of...
Yeah, it was like Chinatown. It was also, like that movie, Chinatown.
I think he might have actually been excavating in Chinatown.
Everybody... and involved in incestuous relationships.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That sounds like L.A. in the 20s.
Yeah.
What kind of lizard people was he? They were like, they stood on two legs, and they had opposable thumbs, but they looked like lizards?
Yeah.
Or do they have, like, claws?
I don't think he had pictures. Physical appearance of our reptilian overlords was never really described.
And he believed that they were our overlords?
I mean, I'm presuming they're overlords. I mean, if you're a really bright lizard, I imagine you're doing something right.
Oh, that's my answering machine.
Oh, that's another Todd Robert Anderson. Welcome, Todd Anderson, to the Toncast. Oh, I believe we've lost Todd Robert Anderson.
That didn't work out.
No.
Yeah.
No. I bet we can get him back, though. I bet all it would take is a phone call.
Yeah, you could call him back.
Yeah.
But let's not.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seemed to be interested only in recording someone else.
Yeah.
He was conducting his own podcast. Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
Very short.
Yeah, it's a very short podcast. Which, you know, a lot of podcasts would benefit from being shorter, I think.
I've heard some good 2-3 minute podcasts.
Yeah, sure. Doesn't The Onion have like a 3 minute podcast?
Do they?
Where they just do funny. They did for a while.
Yeah. In this era of short attention spans, that seems perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I bet you could cut this into 100 2-minute podcasts. This one interview.
I think that's a good idea. One hour-long interview could be almost an entire year's worth of shows, really.
Yeah.
If you stretch it out just right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Save on time. Save on money.
Look at all these project ideas that originate on the Toncast.
It's a think tank of a podcast.
It's a veritable think tank. You know what we need some of that conspiracy Washington money to fund this think tank.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Well, that's all. Washington's all filled with conspiracy money, right? What is Steve Colbert always? The super PACs? It's super PACs.
Oh, it's all super PACs.
And that's all conspiracy money.
It's all conspiracy money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the 9/11 conspiracy? Are you on board with that?
I mean, I still don't understand exactly what the point of the conspiracy was. The only aspect, and let me just tell you that I'm actually not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories. I think we pretty much landed on the moon. I don't believe in the lizard people. Area 51, I don't really care. Maybe it was something, who knows. But the one thing that
you
bothers
don't care
me,
about aliens?
I don't. I figure they're fine. If there are aliens, which there probably are because they just found, you see the other day, they found 500 new planets. Like, the scientists found 500 new planets.
Yeah.
Just like that.
But but maybe you should worry about them, because Stephen Hawking says if aliens come to this planet, it will be to invade and take over and destroy us.
But he doesn't know that.
He's the smartest man in the world.
But I mean, that he's making a psychological observation. He's really good about like astrophysics, but does he have a degree in psychology, let alone a degree in alien psychology?
Well, but would it necessarily have anything to do with psychology as opposed to survival?
Well, it's motivation.
That's what he's saying. If aliens are traversing universes trying to find livable planets, they're doing so because wherever they are is no longer livable.
Maybe they want to buy some water. Maybe they're like, they've got, you know, the equivalent of $18 in beads, and they want to buy.
This is exactly how the V lizard people tricked the human beings back in the 1980s. They came and they said, we have a dying planet. We just would like to take some of your resources. We will heal you. We will give all you these great things in return. But that's not what they were doing. That's not what they were doing. They started collecting all the scientists.
Did they?
Yeah. They put them in camps, internment camps. It's like the Holocaust, but with science. It's terrifying.
So they're basically Republicans.
If Republicans, part of what Republicans want
is, they want to take evolutionary scientists and put them in an internment camp and keep them far away from our schools.
But if they also want to eat those people, then the Republicans are lizard people.
Oh, they were eating the scientists.
They started eating the people.
But they were eating the scientists? Are scientists more tasty than
That was one
else?
Of the big reveals. Did you not see B in the 1980s?
80s? I did not.
Why the hell not?
I don't remember.
Mark Singer's in it.
I know this.
He wears all jeans.
Mark Singer lived across the street from my best friend in elementary school.
And you didn't... there are all these reasons for you to have watched V.
Todd Robert Anderson is officially dumbfounded on the episode of the Toncast. He is speechless.
I'm upset that you never saw it. Because one of the big reveals is they don't just want the planet... They want human beings, and they're going to use them as slaves and a source of food.
I was not aware of that, but thank you for spoiling it for me. Now I don't have to watch it.
If you didn't watch, that's not... You don't get spoilers for shit from the 80s.
Why not? What is the... Okay, that's...
Hey.
This is an important cultural question. What's the shelf life on a spoiler?
I don't believe in spoilers.
They exist, though. So, like, True Detective. Final episode of True Detective is on Sunday, right?
I haven't watched any True Detective.
Okay. So, if I were to tell you an hour after the final episode of True Detective what happens at the end, seeing as you've never seen an episode, is that morally acceptable?
I don't think it's a sin. I mean, if it's kind of douchey if you're doing it pointedly at me. Oh, well, here's what happens at the ending. That's kind of a douchebag move, but if you listen to... Like, usually the spoiler thing comes up in entertainments about entertainments.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, reviews or whatever. And if you want to avoid those spoilers, you just don't listen to the podcasts and stuff.
Right.
And I would argue that in most cases, except for M. Night Shyamalan films, if the spoiler actually ruins... the entire entertainment value of a movie, TV show, whatever, then that movie or TV show is not very good. Or it's directed by M. Night Shyamalan, whose movies, if you really break them down, are incredibly dull until you find out, spoiler alert, Bruce Willis has been dead the whole time.
Right.
Unless you were me, and 20 minutes in, you leaned over to your wife and said, "So Bruce Willis is dead, right?" And she goes, "What? He's dead." Nobody's looking at him except the kid who can see dead people, right? You're not seeing that? And she's like, "Now I do, asshole." But which I guess was a douchebag move, but I have that problem. If a movie's all about
if it's obvious
it's twist ending.
Yeah.
Like The Crying Game.
If you were at a party and there are four people talking about The Sixth Sense, and
sure,
one of those four people hadn't seen it, and the rest of the three of you, and it's, the year is 2014, this is present day, Sixth Sense came out, what, 2000, 2001, 1999?
Something like that.
So, 15 years have passed, and there's still one person who has not seen this movie, and they are at this party, and the rest of the three of you start talking about, oh, Bruce Willis is dead, And that fourth person is like, what? How could you ruin that to me? For me? Are they on the wrong side? Who's in the wrong
side? I feel like they're on the wrong side of it. But they could also, if they see the conversation going, and for some reason they've always really wanted to see The Sixth Sense for the last 10 fucking years, or however long it's been, and they just haven't been able to get around to it. Like, they even bought it. Mm-hmm. They bought it on DVD when it first came out, but they just literally have not had the time. Mm-hmm. That seems like a ludicrous scenario, but if that's the case, then that person should say, oh, wait, I haven't seen it yet, and I've had the DVD for 9 years, and I just haven't gotten around to it. So can you just wait till I leave the room? You know, same situation as podcasts. And
so 15 TV years shows. Is too long. At what point is it not too long? What if it's Sunday night? What if it's Monday morning and they just haven't seen the True Detective finale yet? Is the onus still on them to avoid the conversation?
Well, if you're talking about water cooler conversation, mm-hmm. that's the argument for watching it when it airs. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's going to be some spoiled stuff for you if you go to the office and everybody's talking about it. But, you know, again, avoid the water cooler. Hear it, walk away. I don't think that's the thing. I don't think people discussing something, I don't think it's on them to give spoiler alerts. I think if you don't want something spoiled, it's on you to avoid the spoilings.
One last situation. You're watching a show on TV, mm-hmm. and you have Twitter open. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the East Coast has already seen it 3 hours earlier and are now chatting about it before you've gotten a chance to watch it.
Okay.
Who's the asshole there?
You are.
Me as the person who hasn't seen True Detective yet.
Because True Detective means so much to you that you don't want to know anything about it. But before you watched it, unless you don't understand time zones, in which case... You know, look it up, figure it out. But if you open Twitter in that 3 hours prior to when you get to watch True Detective, I think that's on you.
So the Todd Robert Anderson maxim of spoilers mm-hmm. is that it is the responsibility of the person who hasn't seen the thing to avoid spoilers almost 100% of the time. Unless the person who's doing the spoiling is being a real aggressive asshole about it.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, how often does that happen? Someone runs after you. No, I'm telling you the end of True Detective. Come back here. I will not allow you to walk away from me.
I had a situation with our mutual friend Stephen Falk. Mm-hmm. Where we were, I don't remember what film or TV show we were talking about, but I misunderstood something he said as he had seen the episode with the big reveal, mm-hmm. or the film, or the part of the film with the big reveal.
Uh-huh.
And so it occurred to me, like, I had it in my head based on something he said that he'd seen it, so it was okay for me to talk about the big reveal. And so I started talking about the big reveal, but it was a complete misinterpretation of what he had just said, and he was shocked. He was upset that I had just spoiled whatever it was we were talking about. I was like, but you just said
you saw it. That's unfortunate miscommunication, but I don't think that's anybody's fault. That's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It was terrible. I felt bad.
You would feel bad.
I felt bad.
And he was angry.
He was upset.
But it's
he got
not,
over it.
It's not, I mean, he needs to work on his diction, obviously. He's not communicating well.
Yeah.
If you mistook it, you know, how's your hearing?
It's pretty good.
It's probably good enough. Yeah, it's probably on him then.
It's not as bad as my dad's. Not as good as, say, a dog's.
I have had so many things spoiled, quote unquote, spoiled for me. And I went to see the movie or I watched the TV show, and I had no problem enjoying it, despite knowing some plot thing that mm-hmm. would happen down the line.
Because you like a good story. You like to watch the story
and especially when you're talking about filmed entertainment, you know, or, you know, videoed entertainment these days, it's about the way the story is told, you know, even more than it's about the story. Because it's like that old cliche that, you know, there's only really seven dramatic stories or whatever that nonsense is. I mean, I don't necessarily agree, but in the end, I mean, Breaking Bad's a fun show, even if you know how it's going to end, because it's well told and the characters are fun to watch, and you know, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if it hasn't been spoiled for you, then those, you know, big moments will be more gasp worthy. But that doesn't mean that some of those reveals that you know are coming aren't still gasp worthy because of the way that it unfolds in front of you and you're experiencing itself, even if you know it's coming.
There's a guy who wrote a satirical piece for The Awl, which is a website that I read,
mm-hmm.
and it was 15 House of Cards spoilers, and he hadn't seen House of Cards, and he nailed two of them.
Really?
He inadvertently spoiled. He got two of the things right. He kept trying to make them more ridiculous. Just ridiculous spoilers that would never happen in a million years, except two of them were accurate.
Oh,
two of them were correct.
God. I don't watch that show. Do you like
that
show?
I binged it, both seasons.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did enjoy it. It's not as good as the British version. The original British one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I just realized the minute that came out of my mouth is like a typically pretentious thing to say. Like, the American version is not as good as the British version that preceded it.
Well, I'm... There's actually plenty of American shows that I thought were equally as bad as the British versions. But there are a few examples. I mean, but I think that that's... I mean... You know, the American Office is, you know, had some ups and downs and could be kind of funny. I didn't watch it religiously.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that the British version is a superior piece of entertainment. But I think a big reason for that is it's finite. American television is all about keep it going as long as you can and make as much money as you can, which is why so many TV series run out of steam.
Which is exactly part of the strategy with True Detective, is that this is a one season story,
right?
One season's worth of actors,
right?
And who knows what season two is going to be,
right? And that's what's smart about American Story, even though you know that show's kind of bananas and doesn't always make
American
sense.
American Horror Story,
yeah. But that's the same thing. It's like they tell a different horror story every season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the actors are the same, but they're playing different characters. You know, it's fun because of that. But at the same time, that doesn't, you know, because I watched the third season with my wife, and that thing goes right off the rails at the end.
Mm.
It's not a guarantee.
I have not seen that.
Well, yeah, it goes off the rails.
Just don't spoil it for me.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. I just let you know that, you know, if you're going to watch it, you got to know it goes off the rails at the end. It's like my friend, our mutual friend, Steve Skelton,
mm-hmm.
You know, told me to watch that Battlestar Galactica. So I started watching it on DVD. But he's like, I just want you to know, when you get to the second half of the last season, the show completely falls apart. I mean, completely. And I said, how bad could it really be? I mean, because I thought that show was really good. I was like, how much could it blow up? He's like, you're going to hate it. And I was like, all right, well, I'll be the judge of that. But he was so right.
Yeah.
He was so right.
The second half of the second season of Twin Peaks was the same thing. Do you remember it?
I do remember it. Yeah.
After they first was the reveal of who killed Laura Palmer,
uh-huh.
and then catching who killed Laura Palmer,
uh-huh.
and then there were still seven episodes left in the season, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. And then
right.
the season finale got back to the whole, you know, the David Lynch's mythology of this place called Twin Peaks, which was fascinating. The last episode's great,
right?
But there's five or six episodes. That are just so far off the rails, it almost becomes a comedy. Like an unintentional comedy. I remember going to see Fire Walk With Me in the movie theater. Joey Lawrence and his girlfriend from... what was that show with Corky? Life Goes On. Kelly Martin and Joey Lawrence were in the audience with me that day. I remember that very well. They were like a fixture in the valley in the mid-90s.
Were they?
They were. And
The celebrities don't hang out in the valley anymore, do they?
I don't know. I mean, there's some that live there. They're mostly older celebrities. There used to be celebrities in the valley when I was growing up. Especially around, like, Arts Deli. Arts Deli is popular with the celebrities.
Yeah, when I first moved here, there were a lot of celebrities.
Like, Toluca Lake is where... Didn't Carson live in Toluca Lake? Or Bob Hope? Bob Hope lived in Toluca Lake.
Well, I think a lot of celebrities live there, but you don't see them out and about, is all I'm saying.
Hmm.
You don't see them at the movies, at the multiplex, and Van Nuys.
This is true, but I used to see Kelly Martin? Was that her name?
I don't know.
She was the gorgeous girl from Life Goes On. Anyway, I used to see her chin all the time. And Joey Lawrence, the two of them went to the Fire Walk With Me screening that I was at. The actual showing.
Yeah.
And that movie, the audience thought it was a comedy. Couldn't stop laughing throughout all of Fire Walk With Me. And I was really pissed off because I was a David Lynch super fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were laughing at all these very important...
Yeah.
References. But anyway, that was the entire second half of Twin Peaks became a comedy. Second half of that second season.
Yeah, I can't say that about Battlestar Galactica. It just... It made me genuinely mad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about serialized television... is it's such a risk getting involved with it,
mm-hmm.
because if, and so often when, it goes off the rails, I can't help but feel like I'm suckered. Some people, like, enjoy the journey, and they forgive the ending, like, they don't care about how dumb Lost was at the end, because mm-hmm. they enjoyed the journey and getting there, and I'm like, I see that. That's a very Silver Linings Playbook kind of thing to do. But I just feel like a sucker. I feel like I've invested all this emotional energy, and you failed me. You failed to satisfy me in the end. Mm-hmm. And then I just feel more like I wasted a lot of time.
Interesting. I think I might be on the same page with that. I wanted Twin Peaks to be good forever.
Yeah, or, you know, come to a satisfactory conclusion right. if it's a serialized show. I mean, if it's, I don't know, CSI or something like that, you know, who cares? It's there, you know, for the most part, it's just standalone episodes. It's just, you know, it's like more disposable entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But once you serialize it and you suck me in on that level, and have cliffhangers from season to season,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't pay off, then I get mad, you know? If CSI starts being stupid, which it kind of has, I won't watch it. Right. But I won't, like, be angry at the old ones, because...
What's the longest-running serialized show that just kept delivering?
Serialized show?
Yeah. Is there any that's gone past 3-4 seasons and just kept delivering?
Well, I think Breaking Bad, which went for 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that's, I mean, the first example that really springs to mind.
Okay.
Yeah, because another serialized show that I thought was really good, and the network pulled the plug on it after 3 seasons, but they wrapped it up really nicely. Was Brotherhood, which was a Showtime show about one brother's a politician and the other brother's a gangster.
I remember
in
this.
Providence. They're like Irish.
Loosely based on Whitey Bulger, right? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah, I think so.
There was a famous Boston set of brothers who were, one was a mob guy and the other one was a politician.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then the acting in it was top notch, you know, and I just like the themes of, like, half the time the gangster is more honorable than the politician,
right?
You know, and it goes back and forth between those things. So I it never really jumped a shark and all that. And then mm-hmm. when they had to wrap it up really quick, I thought they did a good job. It was satisfying. I never watched The Wire, but I heard the last season of The Wire kind of bummed people out who watched that.
Mm.
And that's, what, 6 seasons?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch 6 seasons of a show and get bummed out at the end and be like, meh. You know? I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I like movies more. Anyway, TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's my medium of choice. So you go in and... You watch the movie, it's over. You leave. It's nice.
So you're a frequent guest on the Tonscast. The Tonscast.
I've been on the show a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Frequent, a favorite guest, I would say.
Yeah, they keep, I think they have a hard time booking other guests.
What do you think is a good length for a Tonscast episode?
I think they usually run for an hour or
for
something.
An hour?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got about 20 minutes left.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
That's right.
But, I don't think this podcast, I've done it a lot, so I know, I don't think it has any, steadfast rules. Because I know there's been some that have gone on for 2 hours and
holy moly.
Some that have gone on for 5 minutes.
Okay. My biggest fear in life is that I'm overstaying my welcome. Which is like a thing. I'm always the last guy to leave at a party and standing around being like, are we done?
I always overstay my welcome, but I'm not afraid of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I'm having a good time, I just hang out until I'm asked to leave.
Okay, then great. Let's keep going. And if you need to get to your other podcasts on your, because I know you're a popular podcast.
This
guest.
Is all I do. I guest on podcasts.
Yeah.
It's not as lucrative as I'd hoped.
It's an early stage in the medium.
Right. That's what I'm thinking of. Like I've invested.
One day you'll be the godfather of podcasts.
One day I will grow to that power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited to be the god of podcasts. The godcast.
Godfather, not god.
God. Oh, I wanted to be god.
No. Slight difference between godfather. God and godfather.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like I'm a crook?
No, you're just like the godfather. You're like the godfather.
Mean just like a godfather?
You're just the godfather.
The guy who agrees.
I could call you Grandpa Podcast, maybe. Is that, like, you've just been around for so long.
Oh, okay.
You've been doing it since day one. All these young whippersnappers don't know how to interview someone. Mostly millennials. I bet millennials are terrible at interviewing.
I'll bet they are, too.
I bet they're like, so, what do you think of me?
They're hip though.
They are.
They're cool.
They're down with fashion.
They're cool.
Have you heard about normcore?
No.
Oh, this is the thing. It's both ridiculous and kind of funny. I'm in equal parts repulsed and fascinated by it. Normcore is a new fashion that's been around about 2 weeks, and it's basically dressing like you don't care about fashion. So it's like people who dress like they shopped at a Target in the Midwest. So they have like a generic sweatshirt that says Los Angeles on it that you bought at CVS. Or you're wearing mom jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're wearing Crocs.
And they're calling this a style?
They're now calling it a style. It's showing up in catalogs and cool people are dressing like it. It's called normcore.
Are we 100% sure that these cool people who dress in normcore haven't been fucking body snatched?
We're not 100% sure of that. We're also not 100% sure this isn't just some sick joke designed to fuck with people on the internet.
It seems funny.
Yeah.
It seems funny. Normcore.
I mean, based on pictures of me in the 80s, I was a normcore. I was fashion forward, because that's how I dressed. I pulled out a great photograph of myself dressed in teal shorts.
Nice.
A teal shirt.
Uh-huh.
And tube socks with stripes on them that came up to just below the knee. Not to mention my 80s Republican giant glasses frames.
Yeah.
Like, I looked like George W. H.W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
Within normcore, though.
You know, my wife always tries to get me to dress in that manner.
Dress worse?
Well, no. For her, it's like a preppy vibe.
Well, he was. I was just talking about the glasses,
no.
But the rest, the blue tie, the ties, and the blue suits.
Yeah.
That's not normcore.
No, that's not normcore.
No,
but
she wants you to be more.
She likes me in khakis, and I hate khakis.
Yeah,
khakis to me are the worst pant that you can get. I hate them. There's a lot of reasons to hate khakis. One. You know, I know they don't pleat them anymore, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's an improvement. But the tan, like khaki, it's just the color is like It's just shit. It's just the color of, like, sickly shit from someone who had too much milk or something. And they're uncomfortable. And it, after you wash them once, they ride up too high when you sit down, you know? And you can't piss in them.
No, is that
because that, like, a drop of piss will always get in there, and
is
then
that
you got
a feature you're looking for.
You got to hang out. Well, you got. I just the truth of the matter is, you know, it's that old saying. No matter how much you tap, no matter how much you dance, the last drop always winds up in your pants.
That's a good rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that reality in mind, the khaki makes it clear that the last drop wound up in your pants because it shows through immediately.
So you should never, piss at a urinal wearing khakis then.
No.
Because that's going to, it's like splatter paint.
It's splatter paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. This, they're impractical, terrible pants.
I explained to some women friends of mine recently who didn't know about the hazards of urinals that if you really want to know what's going on at a urinal, you should wear shorts and sandals and get the full experience. And they were shocked. They had no idea this was a thing. That, like, basically, no matter what, if you go to the bathroom at a, in a urinal, you're pissing on yourself.
Yeah, you're pissing all over
100%
yourself.
100% of the time.
Yeah, sure,
Yeah. Khaki's not conducive.
No, they're not conducive to it.
No.
No. Yeah. Fuck that.
No, no. When's the last time you shit your pants?
Shit my pants?
Yeah. When was the last time?
I think the last time I shit my pants was in college. Because I knew I was coming down with something, which turned out to be a really bad flu. when I woke up the next day. But these girls that I knew were going to this bar called the 119 Bar, and I really wanted to go. And so I decided to go out with these girls and one other guy, and we're sitting in a booth, and I've got a fart, you know? So I go to fart, and it's more than a fart, and then I have to determine, then I'm like, oh, Christ.
Was just a little bit, or was like a full on?
It was. I didn't know because I was sitting down. I just knew something bad had happened. Something bad had happened, and I was a good walk from my apartment. I had a long way to go. So when that happened, I was like, luckily the 119 Bar was very dark. It was a dimly lit establishment. So I, you know, I sharted, and with these girls, you know, that I wanted to hook up with. And then, like, when that happened, I was like, this is the awesome thing about college and trying to get laid in college, is you'll shit your pants and try to work it out. As opposed to just giving up and calling it a fucking night and excusing yourself, you know. I was like, okay,
you're gonna make this work.
I'm going to make this work. It's dark. They won't see. So I got up and I went to the bathroom, which I had to wait in line for because it's a shitty bar with like a single like bathroom stall. So I waited in line, you know, with my back to the wall the whole time and my legs tightly put together so no one would, because I didn't know how much mess was in there. So I went into the bathroom to check, and then, you know, as soon as I pulled my pants down, then I had to go really bad, and I just had explosive, horrible diarrhea. It was a fucking flu from hell that I had decided to go out with. And then I was like, that's when I said, oh, gee, because as soon as I had this diarrhea, I just, you know, when you have the flu and it really hits you? You know, and it's usually something like that. You're either puking or you're shitting, and then you're sweating, and then you realize you have a fever without taking your temperature, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Right.
You know, and I had been drinking, so maybe that was making it worse, probably, but also numbing my own senses to how fucked I was. So once that happened, I was like, oh, and then, you know, I looked at my pants and they were wrecked.
Yeah.
They were wrecked. It was wrecked. And there was no going. It's like, it would just be rude to go back and sit with people with your wrecked shit pants. Like, I tried to, like, clean them out as best I could, but I'm a stinky, horrible mess. I have to go. And that's when I steeled myself, and I pulled up my messed pants, and I went out, like, angling myself at least away from the group, and hopefully no one else in the bar would notice because it was dark, and was just like, hey, guys, it's weird. I don't feel good. I gotta go. And they were like, oh, okay, feel better. This all could have been avoided if I had just fucking stayed home instead of forcing myself to go out.
So how did you get, this was New York, right?
Yeah, and
did
then
you
I just
cab it back. Or
no, I walked.
You walked. Okay, that's nice. That's generous of you.
I walked because I didn't want to sit in a cab.
Right.
And I didn't want to get in the subway and have waiting around times.
Yeah.
So I walked with shit pants. Yeah, I walked with shit pants, and every time I got near someone, you know, when I passed them, I would just kind of angle my body away. You know, and I was constantly looking over my shoulder to make sure no one was coming up on me too fast and would see my shit pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So, moral of the story is, if you're sick, stay home.
Yeah.
Get some rest.
I do like that you still were going to work it with the girls while you're sitting there in your own shit. That is a baller move. I mean, I don't know if I could muster that kind of confidence in any situation.
For me, it has nothing to do with confidence. For me, it's with, especially with sex, it's like this opportunity, even as a married man, this opportunity may never arise again. So no matter what kind of wreck I'm in, I have to shard and then immediately have horribly explosive diarrhea to shut me off sexually. Like, anything less than
anything
that.
Anything short of that, it's still game on.
It's like, yeah, anything short of that, I'm like, gonna make it work. If I have a hurt foot or something, I'm not putting that. Let's do the sex.
I mean, a hurt foot is a little bit different than pants full of shit.
Yeah, pants full of shit is a deal breaker. You can't. But I was in college.
So you're like, I can pull this off.
Well, it wasn't even like about trying to hook up at that. Like at that stage, it was just about hanging out and being cool.
Right.
And then I'll see you later. as opposed to, I got to get out of here. I just shit my pants. So there was a lot. There was like a panic. There was a panic involved.
Right.
And me staying cool. And me like, how am I going to handle this? Do I stay here and keep drinking?
You sound like you'd be good in a war situation.
if we're fighting for pussy,
yeah.
Then yes.
If I were going to choose to be in the trenches with any person, I think it would be you. Like, there's going to be like water balloons full of diarrhea being thrown at us, and you'd be just like, it's calm. Just be cool. We got this. Just stay right here. I'm waiting for a break, and then we're going to go.
It's true. I would be good to have in a war situation, except for my lack of training.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah.
It's a spirit.
You know, my key to everything I've ever done well, I attribute to just beginner's luck. Uh-huh. That's why I keep changing things I do, because I've got really great beginner's luck. The first time I try anything, I nail it. So, like, if I'm going to go to war, just throw me out there.
You don't need training.
No, just be like, this is your first combat experience. You should probably be going right at Berlin. Because if I go out for a sequel, it's going to be a sophomore slump.
Right,
guaranteed.
Right. Like, if you're a Navy SEAL, that first mission is great, but then you have to leave.
You would want me on SEAL Team 6 in the first mission, and then Private Benjamin in the second, because that's where you'll maximize my success.
Right. Okay. I don't know how it works, but I think you can just leave the Navy SEALs when you've had it.
Yeah, I think you just check. You're just like, I'm done.
That was cool, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. I do that with golf, too. I play golf once a year, maybe less frequently.
Do you do well? When you-
I do well that first time, and I have to become a beginner again, basically, to play well the second time. Because if I go out a week later, I'll shoot like something ridiculous that I shouldn't be shooting. Like I'll shoot like under 100, which is good, I think, for me.
Uh-huh.
And then my set, if I go out a week later, I'll shoot like 350.
I as you may know, I'm a professional actor.
I'm aware of this.
And I go out on auditions quite a lot, usually for commercials. Because I have a really good commercial face, but people don't want to see me for more than 30 seconds. So I went on this audition, and it was for like a golf store of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask, you know, on camera, like, do you golf? And so the guy I'm with is like, yeah, I golf. And they're like, what's your average score? He's like, this is my average score and all that. And then they got to me and they said, do you golf? And I said, no. No, I do not golf. I've been on a golf course 3 times in my life, swung a golf club on those golf courses 3 times in my life, and in every single instance I was getting paid to pretend to golf. I've never actually golfed. I think the one other time I was on a golf course was in high school, and I went with my friends to the golf course. But I didn't golf. I just rode on the golf cart and drank beer.
Which is half the game.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I just... And it's probably the better half.
My dad went through a golf phase.
Yeah, my dad plays golf. My nephew, who's, I think, 11 now, plays golf, and he's really good.
Yeah. My dad went through the golf phase and the cigar phase at exactly the same time. Because they actually worked well together. He had a special golf course cigar holder. That was his like prized possession. Like he would stick this thing in the ground, he'd go up to the tee, he'd put a cigar on the little holder, and then he'd go hit the ball, and then he'd pick up the cigar, take the thing out of the ground, and like that was like the best thing in the world for him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He had a cigar tee.
That's kind of badass. That's full. Did he always dedicate himself that much to everything?
No.
Or was that just that?
Just that. He was real good at smoking cigars. Real good at it.
And at all times.
Yeah.
Golfing. Yeah, golf is one of those sports you can smoke and play.
This is true. Speaking of which, how do you like vaping?
It's fine.
Yeah. You see the City Hall banned vaping and various areas.
Yeah, they're saying that they're upholding the smoking laws for vaping.
Well, except they're not, because the entire rationale for anti-smoking laws, like the only legitimate rationale for anti-smoking laws, is that secondhand smoke is bad for people.
Right.
So people are being harmed by someone else's smoking. That's why if you go to like a bar like Tiki T in Silver Lake, you ever been to Tiki T?
No.
You'd love Tiki T. Tiki Tea is an old school tiki bar. It's about the size of this room.
Is it like the Tonga Hut, like that place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can smoke in there. And the reason you can smoke in there is that the owners and the employees are the same people. So like, So like they're consenting to secondhand smoke. It's basically all the smoking laws are designed, like the good smoking laws are designed to prevent people from being non-consensually exposed to secondhand smoke. So the entire argument with vaping doesn't follow that track. Vaping is like paternalistic. It's like we don't want people to have a gateway to smoking, or we don't know what the health benefits are or the health effects are, when it seems fairly reasonable to assume there really aren't any, in the same way that smoking is, because there's no smoke. You're not filling your lungs with burning
matter. Well, and the jury's still out on that, but all the scientific research that's been done about vaping thus far is, you know, the only thing really that's harmful about it is the nicotine.
Which is largely not that harmful to you. It's no more harmful than caffeine. It's just the delivery mechanism that sucks.
Right.
I mean, why would you... What's the rationale for banning vaping in a public place, but not banning Nicorette gum?
Well, that's my question, but I think that's it's because vaping, you know, if you listen to you know, Greg Proops's podcast, for example, he makes fun of people for vaping all the time.
Mm-hmm. Cause it's ridiculous.
It's a like millennial douchebag thing to do.
It's called vaping.
It's vaping. It's douchey, but it's a $1 billion industry now.
Yeah.
But so he's like, if you're going to smoke, be a man and have a fucking cigarette,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know, maybe he partakes in from time to time. At the same time, and I think actually like City Hall is sort of reflecting that kind of attitude. And it's just a sort of like generational push where like vaping makes you look douchey. It's like anti-douche laws. That's what they're trying to, anti-vape is like to cut down on douchebaggery.
If City Hall were trying to cut down on douchebaggery in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. there's a whole slate of legislation they need to start considering.
Well, no, I know, but this is more like, hey, this legislation about smoking mm-hmm. already exists, so we're going to piggyback onto that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people think vaping, and because the science isn't 100% on it yet as far as how harmful it is.
But you've vaped. You're a vapor.
I'll vape.
You'll vape.
I'm not afraid to vape.
You'll bust out a vape.
I'll vape like you can vape doobage.
I've heard of that.
And it's a lot better for you to get your THC through vape than it is through smoke.
Exactly. Well, see, that's my point, is that you know the physical difference between smoking a cigarette and vaping on some vapors.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's like, a very different...
If you smoked a pack of cigarettes right now and wanted to go for a jog, it would hurt.
If I smoked 5 cigarettes right now, mm-hmm. I would probably barf.
Exactly. Because it's painful, and it's gross, and it's delightful, but it's also terrible.
It's terrible, and it's...
And vaping, you could probably easily vape while you were running a mile. You could probably... You know what the vaping people need to do? They need to sponsor one of those marathon runners. Have them just...
The vape jog.
Just vape and, like, win a marathon at the same time. That would really show people.
That will show people.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
Another great idea from the Toncast.
This is a think tank.
Think tank. This actually just turned into a Republican think tank. It's like, damn these government people telling me I can't vape.
Well, LA's done weird shit in the last couple years. They drove the porn industry out of town mm-hmm. by saying you gotta wear condoms.
Right.
And I know perfectly intelligent people who thought that was a great idea.
Yep.
And I was like... No, you're parenting porn stars.
Yeah.
They're porn stars. They're grown-ups. If they want to have unprotected sex...
Yeah.
In their kind of crazy protected environment with mm-hmm. their, like, in the professional realm... I mean, and yeah, there was, like, a hepatitis breakout. That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But that also happens in single social circles where the thing is aren't getting filmed.
Right.
So that's... Legislating that just because they're on camera is, I mean, that's fascist, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, and the Republicans were for that because the Republicans want to control the naughty stuff.
That's the only time that they breach away from libertarianism is when it deals with sex and ladies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And abortions and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything that the Bible's weird about.
Yeah.
Gay
that's,
people.
That's when it's okay to be paternalistic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's aggravating.
It's aggravating. Yeah.
It seems dumb.
I think it is. I think it seems dumb. I mean, there are limits. Like, I'm not... I would prefer that people not be pedophiles. I feel like that is an okay thing to stop. See, like, if this is your choice, we're not okay with it. That's proper.
Yeah.
There's definitely a
that
line.
That is proper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, telling me I can't vape... In a public park seems short of that line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would never vape around children, you know, any more than I would...
But that's just generous.
Smoke stuff around children.
Right.
And I do when I see parents, like, smoking cigarettes mm-hmm. in their car with the kids in the back.
Do you see that?
Yeah. Ugh. I see it all the time. It makes me sad for those children.
Yeah.
And, like, those are kind of being parental with parents. Sometimes I'm like, well, there should be a law against that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, no, you know what? No. There shouldn't be a law against that. They want to smoke around their kids. They're being assholes, and it's a bad parenting decision, and they're fucking up their kids, both their health and they'll probably become smokers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad mistake, but should we legislate against that? Like, where does it stop?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where does it stop? So, I don't like bad parents, but, like, I see parents doing other shit that's bad. Like, you let your kid drink a big gulp every day after school, you're being a bad parent. Yeah. You're being an asshole. But should the mayor of New York make it illegal for people to get big gulps? No, that's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing in the world, because guess what? A big gulp is just a bigger cup. You can get four little cups, you asshole. I just got around your stupid law. It's the dumbest ass thing in the world. Yeah. And, yeah, all this stuff. Like, human habits? Yes, there should be laws against pedophiles. Of course. Of course. But at the same time, you know, pedophiles are fucking crazy people.
That is true.
You know, and there should be, and it, like, there are laws against murder.
There are laws against murder.
And the fact is crazy murdery people are going to murder anyway,
mm-hmm.
but then we get to lock them up so and keep them from murdering more people.
That's true.
And that's the thing about, and that's the law about pedophilia. But I don't equate smoking a vape in a bar or even a vape in front of, like, hanging out at a park and smoking a vape where kids are playing soccer or whatever.
I think you're vaping a vape. I don't think you smoke a vape. I think you vape the e-cigarette. Isn't that how this is great?
I don't know.
This has got to be down with the grammar.
Yeah, you're right, because it wouldn't be smoking, because you're not smoking.
You're vaping.
You're vaping.
Yeah.
You're vaping the vapors.
You're vaping the vapors.
You're vaping vapors. This is the dumbest conversation. If you're vaping vapors, it's dumb. But, you know, what are you going to do?
There's a lot of flavors in vapor, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of flavors and vapors, yeah. All kinds, which I'm unclear on, because when they first introduced electronic cigarettes in California, it was illegal to get flavors.
It was illegal?
Yeah, you couldn't even order something from a company out of state and get flavored electronic cigarettes.
No flavor vapor.
You could get the tobacco-flavored ones and the menthol-flavored ones, but no vanilla, no anything, because the concept being, and I don't know that that state law has changed, you know, but the concept being that flavored stuff, because it's illegal to sell flavored cigarettes here too. Because you know,
but you can get flavored tobacco. I mean, that's what those hookah guys do, right? Like, all that tobacco is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. But, like, you can't, like, sell, like, vanilla flavored cigarettes in California. At least you couldn't. And then, so when they introduced the electronic cigarettes, it was illegal for them to ship flavored, you know.
I'd like a cedar flavored cigarette.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. I don't want, like, fruity flavors, but, like, maybe cedar, redwood.
Yeah, sure.
Because pipes got flavor, right? Like, pipe tobacco, there's different scents.
Yeah, pipe tobacco is weird, though, because, like,
it's stinky.
Well, pipe tobacco smells good.
Yeah.
But it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of cigars. Cigars smell like shit,
and
they taste really good.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I do cedar, do oak, like to smoke a good oak cigarette. That'd be like scotch, a nice peaty cigarette.
A nice peaty cigarette. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I'll have
burn
that.
Burn different stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have that. Sure.
But no blueberry.
No blueberry.
Although I knew someone who vaped on a flavor called Black Mamba.
That sounds like the name of a strain of indica weed.
It's also Kobe Bryant's nickname. So they were smoking a Kobe Bryant flavored vape, or they were vaping a Kobe Bryant vapor.
It just tasted like sweat.
Exactly.
Basketball sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Kobe Bryant story. I was at a Dodger game and Kobe Bryant showed up wearing a Kobe Bryant t-shirt.
Did he really?
He did.
Kobe Bryant was wearing a Kobe Bryant t-shirt.
Yep.
I don't know what to say. Is that true?
Also, Yasiel Puig's his at-bat song, the song that they play when he goes up to bat, is a song called Yasiel Puig.
Really?
Yeah, it was written for him.
All right, well,
We're doing something wrong.
I don't ever want to share. Like, on Facebook, there was, like, an ad. You know, they get the ads in the stream?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, suggested posts right. And all that.
Try this flavor.
Yeah. This was, I don't know where they got me as part of this demographic, but it was, like, Team Anderson, Team Todd. That's what it was. It was Team Todd T-shirts and sweatshirts.
Do you think that there was a Team Eric version, or was it like actually the brand?
I'm imagining that the algorithms or whatever they use would, if you had seen it, it would have said Team Eric on it.
Mm-hmm.
But in mine, it said Team Todd, and I immediately posted on Facebook, "Dear Facebook, the last thing in the world I would ever wear is something that says Team Todd on it." But then, which is true, mm-hmm. but then someone suggested to me, why not, like, order 100 of them, and then every time you, like, go out or work or something, give the t-shirts to the crew, you know, go to parties, hand them out to the party goers, you know?
Well, it's like in Africa, like, you know how they, every time, you know, somebody, you may not know this, this is a really obscure sports fact, but every year somebody loses the big game. Like, somebody, there's a winner of the World Series every year, but there's also a guy who loses.
Oh.
You may not know that.
I didn't know that.
So, the guy who loses the World Series.
Because, like, now in children's sports, nobody loses.
No. Everybody wins.
They don't, but they have to maintain that, otherwise the children are become deluded and violent.
They'll be, I mean, they will realize one day that they've been lied to, and, you know, woe to all of us. But anyway, so, they don't know. During a world, like a tight World Series,
uh-huh.
who's gonna win? They don't know. And they need to supply the winner with t-shirts and hats that say World Series. They have to do it immediately. It's like a rule.
They gotta have them ready to go.
So they put these t-shirts and hats in the locker room so that when the team comes back, they get to celebrate immediately and they put it on.
Sure.
So they have to produce a certain number of congratulations World Series champions for the team who's actually destined to lose. And then what happens is if that team loses, they feverishly run to the locker room and they clean up all the congratulations World Series champion gear for the team that lost, and then they ship it to Africa. They just give it to
poor people in Africa.
So, like, if you go to Africa, it's like an alternate sports dimension where every team that's ever lost a big game is suddenly celebrated as the champion.
That sounds great. So, in a roundabout way,
mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball is upholding the nobody loses.
In something, it's more like they've turned Africa into a big sci-fi movie because everything is an alternate dimension.
Is it a sci-fi movie like District 9 or a sci-fi movie like Elysium?
Well, neither of those dealt with alternative futures. Right? Those were all real futures.
Yeah.
Like, this is more like,
I'm just asking about the quality.
Oh, the quality? Oh, it's pretty compelling.
So it's District 9.
Yeah.
It's lower budgeted.
There you go. Yeah.
But
it's District 9.
It's
gritty.
It's gritty. Yeah. And real. It makes sense.
It's far more Paul Greengrass than, say...
So the camera's really shaky.
Than J.J. Abrams. Yeah.
And I don't like that.
I mean, there's not a lot of... Like, there are a lot of, like, dirt roads in Africa. Like, you're getting a Land Rover and you're bouncing up and down.
Yeah. No, I saw a zombie movie that they made in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot of driving on dirt roads.
Yeah.
And running over zombies on dirt roads.
Yeah.
And there were, like guerrilla fighters and stuff. Militias and whatnot.
Yeah. Those things scare me. I saw some Oscar-nominated short doc about child warriors in Africa.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't like child warriors.
I'd vape in front of those kids.
Yeah.
They can handle it, because they're also smoking, like, cot or whatever that stuff is, right?
Yeah, the crazy making Captain Phillips drug,
yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah. Also a great Scrabble word.
The crazy making Captain Phillips drug?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a winning word.
You, I wonder if you can get vape in cot.
Cot-flavored vape?
Cot-flavored vape.
I'd like to vape some cot, please.
All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have on today's episode of the Toncast.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for being here. I know you're in demand as a podcast guest. I like to see that you've visited my podcast or your podcast or the Toncast again. You keep coming back. We must be doing something.
I always have a good time on this show.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. I hope that whoever my replacement host is, because you may not know this, but my contract is up, and I don't think that the network is renewing my contract.
They go through a lot of hosts.
They really do.
Seems weird. There must be something about the production team.
I think it's also because the.
Oh wait, is this show run by Dick Wolf?
Yes.
Oh, that explains it.
Yes, I am going to be replaced by a hotter, younger podcast host, I'm sure of it.
Okay.
Anyway. Thank you. This is my farewell program, and it was great having you as my final guest.
Well, thanks for having me. It's kind of a sad end.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to go vape on some cot right now, and I'll feel a lot better.
Vape that cot, baby.